All right. 1 Samuel 17, verse 3, it says, "And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the other, on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And the spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? And not I a Philistine and ye the servants of Saul? He said, Choose you a man from you and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight against me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. As I look at your faces, some of you I know, some of you I've met for the first time this week, but many of you, you're facing some kind of hurt tonight. There's some kind of trial in your life. It may be with your parents. It may be with your friends. It may be with your brother or sister, but there's something going on in your life that's too big and it's too much for you to handle. No one understands. No one can help, but it's there. You want to stop it, but it seems like too much. When you wake up in the morning, it's there. When you go to sleep, it's there. And tonight, I want to speak to you on defeating your Goliath. Defeating your Goliath. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Father, for this opportunity to preach and to speak to these young people. Father, I remember the days when I was a teenager, when I was a young person, and how life just could get so difficult sometimes. And Father, I thank you that the difference between these young people, I didn't have God, but they have people that love them and teach them. And God, I pray that they would listen and heed the preaching, heed the teaching this week. Father, help their hearts to be opened. I pray that you would do a work in our midst tonight and during the youth conference. During the youth camp. Father, I pray that you'd meet with us tonight. Send your spirit. Fill me with it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now we just read, what we just read were a few verses from the beginning of the story of David and Goliath. Here you have the Israelite army, and you have two mountains. You have the Israelite army on one mountain, and you have the Philistines on the other mountain. And down in the valley, you have a giant man about 11 feet tall named Goliath. King Saul, on the side of the mountain where the Israelites were, you have King Saul and a whole army of trained soldiers. But they're too frightened to go down and fight this man named Goliath. Nobody was willing to go down and battle him. Miles away, there was a young man named David. He was the youngest boy in his family. His father came to him and said, David, your brothers are up in battle. I want you to take some food up to them. I don't know if they've eaten, but here, I want you to take this cheese and this bread, and I want you to go up to the battle and just get this food to them. And David said, yes, Dad, I'll do that. And he found somebody to watch his sheep. And he went out, got a cart, put the cheese and the food on the cart, and headed up toward the battle. When he got up to the battle, he couldn't find his brothers, and he got a man to watch his cart, and he went up into where the soldiers were, and he was looking around for his brothers, and all of a sudden he heard this loud voice coming from down in the valley. And he looks down in the valley, and all the soldiers starts noticing people are running everywhere. People are running over there. They're hiding behind rocks. They're hiding behind trees. They're hiding behind everything. All these trained soldiers, men he respected, men he looked up to, were hiding, and they were scared. And he looked down in the valley to see what they were so afraid of. And he saw this 11-foot tall man. The Bible says that he was the champion. That means he was the best of the best. He was the best fighter they had. And he was down in the valley yelling up to the servants of Saul. And he was saying, "Servants of Saul, choose a man and let him come down to me. And if he kills me, we will be your servants. But if I kill him, you will be our servants." And David ran around the camp. David saw this man, he was running around, he started saying, "Well, who's going to fight this guy?" He's grabbing these soldiers, hiding behind rocks, saying, "Who's going to fight this guy? Who's going to fight him? Who's going to fight him? Who's going to put up with this?" One of David's brothers, he looks at David and he says, "David, why did you come down here? Why did you leave the sheep? Who'd you leave with the sheep?" And David said to him, he said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" Finally, Saul sent for him. He was making such a commotion with the soldiers. Saul called him in. He said, "Bring that young man. Bring him in here. I'll talk to him." And Saul said to him, "Son, you're not able to fight this Philistine. You need to get it through your head. This guy's a killer. This guy is the champion. This guy is fully armored. He's 11 feet tall. I don't have a soldier in my whole army that could face this guy." And David looked at him and he said, I understand, King Saul, but, you know, one day I was watching my sheep." He said, I know I'm just a shepherd boy. He said, "But I was watching my sheep And one day this bear and this lion came in and they grabbed the sheep and God was with me that day and I slew the bear and I slew the lion and I killed them both." He said, I think God might be with me on this." Saul said, "All right. I can't stop you, but maybe I can give you some help." And he called his armor bearers in. They came in. They brought some armor in. David tried it on. I imagine it was probably way too big for him. And, you know, it's too heavy. He can't get up. And probably Saul was, I imagine Saul, I would probably have been sitting there thinking, "Well, let's see. I know this kid, you know, he's going to wear this armor. He's going to realize he can't handle it. And he's just going to give up." And David tried it out and he said, I can't do this. And he climbed up out of the armor and he said, I've never tried this. I've never proved it before. And he took his staff and he went down to a brook, got five stones in his sling, and he went down to Goliath. And Goliath's down there in the valley and he's standing there. He's got a shield, he's got a spear, and he's got a sword. And Goliath sees David coming down toward him. And he starts laughing and scorning him because he's so young. And he says, "Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" He said, "Do you think I'm a dog by coming to me with sticks? What do you think you're going to do to me?" Then Goliath started cursing him and he said, "Come on, come down to me and I'll give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." He said, "I'm going to kill you." Turn to 1 Samuel 17:45. Then David said to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand,
and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the earth, and that all the earth may know that, there is a God in Israel. And all his assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle of this is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. This was a brave young man. Goliath, with his puffed head, being the champion, and this young boy talking to him that way, he was mad. And he grabbed his sword, he clenched his shield, he clenched everything he had, and he ran down the hill toward David. And then David ran down the hill toward Goliath, and he took that stone out of his bag, put it in his sling, swung it around, let it go, and it hit Goliath square in the head. He fell on his face, he jumped on Goliath's back, pulled out his sword, and then chopped off his head. And as he picked up his head by the hair, lifted it up to the children of Israel, they all rose up from their rocks, headed down the mountain, and slaughtered the Philistines. What kind of giants are you facing today? The giant of drugs? You say, "Well, Brother Keith, this is Christian. This is a Christian youth camp." I don't care. A lot of you go to the national schools. A lot of you from Dublin. There's got to be a drug problem in Ballincollig. Are you facing a giant of alcohol? Are you feeling the pressure to act like the world? Are you facing the giant of obeying your parents? You having trouble with that? Standing for God, talking to others about Christ, the bitterness you hold in your heart, your anger? What is a situation or sin that seems so big for you? What are you wanting to overcome, but the problem is still there, and you wish it would go away, but it is still there, and every day you have to face it. Every day you have to face that problem in your life. Let's look at the story. First, you have David versus Goliath. You have David. He didn't have very much. He was just a young man. He had a staff, 5 smooth stones, and a sling. Then you have Goliath, who's 11 feet tall, fully armored, shield, spear, sword, and he's the champion of the Philistines. First, we need to realize that like your Goliath, like the problems you may be facing, the odds were against David. You know, whatever you're facing, the odds are against you. You know, I'll be honest with you, if it seems like nobody around you at school, at home, at the films, or maybe even at church wants to do right, then you are correct. Turn in your Bibles to Romans 3:10. Romans 3:10. It says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. 11, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Romans 3:12, they are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, which is a place where you dare bury dead bodies. And their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asps is in their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction or misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. God, the devil puts Goliaths in your way. He wants to discourage you from doing right. He wants to make it seem like it's impossible, like the odds are against you, like you have no option but to give in. That's how King Saul felt. That's how the armies of Israel felt. Like Goliath, sin says, I'm going to make you a slave. The opposition looks strong and untouchable, and it looks like doing right and believing the Bible is hopeless. The odds were against David. Second, everyone told David it couldn't be done. David went down. David went he gets there, and everybody, as soon as Goliath starts speaking, everyone's hiding behind rocks. Everyone says, oh, we can't go and fight Goliath. Goliath's just too big. It can't be done. David's brothers, oh, David, you need to just go home. It's useless. It's a waste of time. We don't know what we're going to do to fight this guy. Recently, there was a family here in Ireland that got an interview on a TV station. I got to watch it on the internet. Three young people giving their lives up for purity. Not giving their lives up to drugs. They were interviewed. One of the boys was put on camera on the spot, right there in front of all of Ireland. And then with two other people saying that kids are going to do what the kids can't live pure in this world. And one example of somebody who can, with two brothers and sisters with the same way. But all through the interview, they kept having, and they did a wonderful job. If you get a chance to see it, I recommend seeing it. They did a great job. They just lifted up our Savior like I could. I mean, I thought, you know, if I was in that same situation, I'd have said something stupid. But they chose their words carefully, and they answered every question thoroughly. But all through the interview, they kept having these short interviews with college students from around the country saying that it's impossible to stay pure before you're married. And they doubted it could ever be done. The world's against God. The world's against what God stands for. You know, if the Bible's right tonight, then hell's real. And those people are going to have to answer to God for the way that they're living. If they can prove the Bible wrong, they can do whatever they want in their own eyes and make up their own rules. The world knows that if you do right, if you follow the Bible, then what they are doing is wrong.
Amen.
Do you know what a religious fanatic is? It's somebody who loves God more than you do. Be careful when you call someone that. But if you're going to stand for God, you're going to have to face Goliath. The devil wants to convince us it can't be done. The devil wants to tell us we're wasting our time. The devil wants to tell you that it's okay to do what you want as long as it doesn't hurt anyone. The devil wants to tell us that there's no fun in serving God. The devil wants to tell you that if you serve God, you will live a boring, rotten life. But if you talk to the alcoholic or drug addict who's lost his family, lost his kids, kept himself in poverty, spending all his money, that he would tell you he wished he'd never taken the first drink.
Amen.
If you talk to the gambler who spends every last cent and steals from others hoping he can hit it big just one more time, they wish they had never played their first game of poker. Or the person dying of emphysema in the hospital wishes they never picked up their first fag. Or talk to the man or lady who thought it was fun to sleep around and fornicate, and now their body is swallowed up in a tormenting disease. I guarantee you, if you spoke to any of them, they would tell you that that kind of life is a lie, and they would never live a life like that again. But some of you tonight, you're headed down that same road they were on. You have one chance in life. The difference between you and them is you have the truth in the Bible and they didn't. You have people who love you enough to stand up behind a pulpit and warn you. There's a better life out there for you. There's a good life out there for you. There's a life out there without regrets, without heartache, without torment, without having to live with a hurt conscience for the rest of your life.
Amen.
You know, if a young man or a young lady does not love this book, it is likely you will get
what I described a few minutes ago. And if they love this book, they'll wait until they're married for a physical relationship.
Amen.
And they'll stay away from drugs and alcohol.
Yes, yes.
And they will be hardworking, and they will treat you kindly all the days of your life.
Amen.
The odds were against David. Second, David was told it couldn't be done. Third, David trusted God's protection. He didn't trust in himself or his own wisdom and abilities. His faith was in God. But that didn't happen in an instant. He didn't all of a sudden get there, you know, he just lived a life however he wanted, and then all of a sudden Goliath there and he said, "Boy, I think I'm going to trust God today." No, he didn't do that. He didn't do that. And that's not going to happen to us. It was because he lived a life yielded to God. First, David trusted God's protection in the past, in the smaller trials, the smaller testings. Now, I know this would be big, but take the lion and the bear. They weren't anything compared to Goliath. Goliath probably could have picked him up with his hand and killed him. But those were smaller trials that God brought David through, but he trusted God through those, and those gave him the confidence to trust God through facing Goliath. God needs young men. God needs young women. God needs boys and girls who will trust God and protect them. To trust His Word, even if the whole world thinks you're a fool. You know, when the world says evolution's true and everything happened over millions of years, know that Jesus Christ, that the God of this universe, created the heaven and the earth. It wasn't made over millions of years. Know that there is evidence of God's creation all around us. Psalm 19:1 says that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth His handiwork. You know, if I took tonight, If I told you, if I took a big bucket full of metal pieces and I shook it around, if I told you, hey, I have this big bucket of metal pieces, and this is what I did. I took this big bucket full of metal pieces. Sorry, Brother Dan. Here. I just did it for a laugh. All right, I'll clean it up after. Maybe. But if I took a bucket full of metal pieces and I told you, hey, look. If you take a bucket full of metal pieces, watch this, and you put them in here and you shake it around as hard as you can, eventually, you're going to get what I got, an iPhone. Yeah. Woo. All right. Now, if I told you that, you know, if you got your own bucket, you could have an iPhone too. Would you believe me? No, you wouldn't believe me. That's ridiculous. Here, I got some metal pieces to saw you. But, you know, yet your brain, which is more complex than an iPhone, those idiots out there will tell you that that's exactly how it was formed. We know that the planets spin in such clockwork formation and at such precision that they can determine the exact position they'll be in 1,000 years from now at the same date, at the same time, because it works like clockwork. But they tell us that it was a big accident. Did you know that computers are helpful, but they can't even amount to the calculations that go on in the brain of an earthworm? You know, never mind the evidence all around the world of a worldwide flood, Noah's flood. You can trust God's word that He created the heaven and the earth. Turn your Bibles to Romans 3:4. Says, God forbid, yea, let God be true, and every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. We need to believe God.
If something's not of God, if it doesn't line up with this book, if it doesn't go with what the Bible teaches, it is a lie and it's from hell. And they may not be able to, they're a creation scientist, they may not be able to prove it wrong right now, but eventually they'll prove it wrong, just like they have in times past. Science is the one that gave us bleeding people and things like that, but you know, some of you younger kids wouldn't understand that. But you know, we need to trust God. And like David, when small trials come, we need to have faith in God. If we trust God in the small things, then when the big trials come, when we lose a loved one or something terrible happens in our life, or we have to face a situation that we've never faced before, when those times come, we will have enough faith and He will help us through. We need to trust God to protect us. The safest place you can be is in God's will. And to be in God's will is believing and trusting and obeying His book, the Bible. The world says it's old-fashioned, but there's nothing new under the sun. People face the same problems today they did 1,000 years ago. People face the same problems today they did, or they have the same sins today as they did 1,000 years ago. And God is the same God as that David had thousands of years ago. Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus is the same, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. David trusted God because he prayed and talked to God. When there were times alone and he was watching the sheep, he was talking to God. When you're alone, do you talk to God? David trusted God's revealed will. He obeyed his parents. When his dad told him to go up into the battle and bring the cheese and the bread, he didn't argue with him. He didn't say, well, I have other things to do. He automatically went ahead and did it right away. The odds were against David. David was told it couldn't be done. David trusted God's protection. Next, he faced his enemy. You know, David looked at the fact that they were God's people. No one should be talking about God that way. No one should be mocking His God that way. If you're saved tonight, like David, you are one of God's people. John 1:12 says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. You know, whatever Goliath you're facing tonight, don't turn around. Don't turn back. Don't give up. Face your enemy. We were studying the other night, and we were talking about the Roman soldiers, and one of the men said, you know, Roman soldiers, they would put armor all over the front of them. They wouldn't put any on the back, because if they turned around, they would get killed. So that forced the soldiers to have to walk forward through the whole battle. I said, well, they must have been really good at running backwards, right? let's hope we don't do that. Next, God gave David the victory. You know, we need to trust God. We can't do it on our own. God doesn't want us to trust ourselves and our abilities. God wants to bring glory to Himself because He is the way of salvation. He wants the world to see what He can do because He wants the world to be reconciled to Him. If we got the credit, people would look at us. If we got the credit, people would say, hey, look, what did Brother Keith do that? You know, we can't even keep ourselves out of hell, never mind somebody else. God wants the credit. He doesn't want us to get the credit. I don't know what kind of enemy you're facing tonight, but we have the victory already. And if we would simply trust God and face our enemy. Last, because of David's victory, it encouraged the whole army. When David lifted up Goliath's head to the army of Israel, those same men who were scared, those same men that were hiding behind rocks and trees and anything they could get behind, those same men rose up in triumph and went down and defeated the Philistines. There's others watching you. There's other people who would like to step out for God and to have the boldness to stand up. And I guarantee you, if just one of those soldiers had got up and wanted to defeat Goliath and face him, God was on their side. He would have helped that soldier out. He would have come through. And I imagine if you were one of those soldiers hiding, how humiliating it must have been that a young boy was brave enough to go down there with stones in a sling when you were fully armored. Christians are watching. Unsaved people are watching. When you face trials, when you face temptations, they want to see if you really have a God. Teens, younger people are watching you. Kids at your school are watching you. Children in your church are watching you. Before I was saved, when I was in school, I was never really popular. I had popular friends, but I was myself. I wasn't popular. I didn't really play on a sports team. I was just your average teenager. There was a young man. His name was Sean. He was messed up. When he got into high school, I watched him. He got messed up on drugs. He got messed up on alcohol. He hurt his family. He was constantly in and out of rehabs until he was 17 years old, the last I saw him. And that was before I was saved, and we were at a party. And he began to tell me a story that I never forgot. He said, "Keith, when I started coming, in the States they call it high school, the last 4 years." He said, "When I started coming to high school," he said,
"Sorry, can you sit down, please? You were told to go to the toilet before the meeting. They escaped. Can you sit down, please?"
Before I was saved, we were at a party, and he began to tell me a story. He said that he'd known me when we were in grade school to be a good kid. He said when he got to high school, he saw me walking up and down the halls. I had a beer company hat on my head, and he saw that the kids I hung around with, you know, they loved their drinking parties, and that was the type of crowd. And that what he once saw was wrong, he began to change his mind after seeing me. And that's when he began to take his first drink of alcohol. And after that, his life was ruined. I never even hung out with the kid until that one night. But because of my influence, I didn't think anybody looked up to me. But because of my influence, I ruined that kid's life. Whose life are you influencing? 1 Samuel 17:29 says, "And David said, 'What have I now done? Is there not a cause?'" I want to ask you tonight, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause for someone to stand up for right in the darkness of this world? The devil has all kinds of weapons to propagate his message. He has the TV. He has films. He has rock music. He has rap music. He has the do-your-own-thing philosophy that's all over the advertisements. Quit hiding behind underneath your bushel. Turn to Matthew 5:14. Matthew 5:14 says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Is there not a cause to show the world that you can live purely? The world is looking for an answer to alcoholism. The world is looking for an answer to broken marriages. The world is looking for an answer to unruly kids. The world is looking for an answer to drugs. The world is looking for an answer to law breaking. And you can't show them the answer if you're living like the world. Is there not a cause? God needs young men. God needs young ladies who will stand up and say, I know the truth and I won't back down. David could see what would happen if the Philistines took over. Proverbs 14:5 says, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. You know, what would have happened if David didn't fight Goliath? If you don't stand up, if you don't fight your giant, who will? Why is our world getting more wicked and more ungodly? Turn to 2 Chronicles 7:14. Second Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. If you look at this verse, there's no amount of people required. There's no age requirement. There's no muscle requirement. There's no skill requirement. There's no athletic requirement. And there's no financial requirement. Just a yielded heart to God. First, the odds are against David. He's upset that I'm finishing. It's okay, Keenan. All right. The odds were against David. David was told it couldn't be done. David trusted God's protection. He faced his enemy. God gave David the victory, and it encouraged a whole army of people to serve God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Everybody, bow your heads and close your eyes. Nobody looking. You know, tonight, we can stand up to the enemy and trust God, or just give in and be a slave and take others with us. What's your choice tonight? Joshua 24:15 says, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I don't care if everybody in here does wrong. I am going to do right. My family is going to do right. I'm going to pray, and keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I'm going to pray in just a few minutes, and I want to pray for you tonight. If God spoke to your heart during the message, maybe you have a Goliath in your life that you just haven't been able to face. I want to pray for you tonight that God would help you trust Him for the victory. If God spoke to your heart tonight about anything, would you raise your hand, please? Quickly, raise your hand. I see hands all over. Anyone else, please, quickly. All right, there's hands all over. You can put your hands down. Maybe this week God convicted your heart about salvation. And you're sitting there tonight. You don't know you're going to heaven when you die. Maybe your parents told you you prayed when you were younger. Maybe you think your baptism when you were a baby is enough. Maybe you know that you would be in hell when you die. God convicted your heart this week, but you are too embarrassed or too shy about approaching somebody or even raising your hand. If God spoke to your heart tonight about salvation, if you haven't raised your hand or approached anyone about it, I want to pray for you about that, that God would give you triumph over that Goliath. Now, I'm not going to point you out, but with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you don't know for sure, if you haven't raised your hand this week, would you raise your hand right now if you don't know for sure you're going to heaven? Would you raise your hand? Is there anybody like that tonight? Is there anybody like that?
Father, I pray that you would bless these young people. Lord, help them to face their Goliaths. Lord, help them to be good examples. Help them to be Christians when they leave here this week, and give them triumph over the Goliaths in their lives. Father, bless each and every one of us. Help us to serve you. Lord, bless these that have raised their hands tonight. Father, they're facing a Goliath in their life. I don't know what it is. I don't know what you spoke to them about. But God, I thank you that you worked in hearts tonight. And I pray, God, that you would give them victory over that area of their lives. Please continue to bless the youth camp and bless these dear young people. Help them as they go out and serve you. Help them to be lights in the world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.